All right. Get your Bibles there to see. And I tell you what, somebody turn to John 3:16. We're going to read there some, but I want somebody to read that or quote it. Anybody know that verse? Go ahead, quote it together. For God so loved the world, that he gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish,
but have everlasting life.
That is probably, one of the most familiar, most recognized verses of Scripture in the whole Bible, I guess. If anybody knows anything, they've heard John 3:16. To me, John 3:16 is without a doubt the greatest love story ever told. Tonight we want to talk about the cross a little bit. The cross. I heard a lady sing a song the other day and it just stuck in my mind. Of course, I'm not going to sing it, so don't get worried. And the name of it was The Cross Says It All. The Cross Says It All. You've heard it, hadn't you? That is an awesome song. I never heard it before or since. But tonight we want to focus on the cross a little bit and what happened on the cross. Now, of course, we know Jesus died on the cross. But there's more to it than that. We were talking earlier about, you know, praying for people. You know, sometimes they get healed instantly. Sometimes God uses medicine. Sometimes he used miracles, sometimes death for the ultimate healing. And we'll never understand that either. We've already talked about that, right? I mean, we pray for healing. And by the way, I want to thank you for those that know about it. They've been praying for my wife, Jan. Been praying for both of us, actually. She's cancer-free. Praise God. And they're going to do another surgery and take out some more tissue just to create what the surgeon calls a safe margin. They're actually taking out good tissue, but they want to make sure that margin, they call it. Well, God has used Northside Hospital and, I think, miracles to heal my wife. Right? But she's healed nevertheless. We prayed for Maggie, our granddaughter, and she went home to be with the Lord. But Jesus paid our passage to heaven on the cross, right? Just before they nailed him to the cross, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get that in a minute. We're going to talk a little bit about the benefits of the cross. At John 3:16, we want to read a few more verses there. So go ahead and turn there if you hadn't already. John 3:16 through 21, we might get that far. But this tells a story of God, because Jesus is God. Amen?
Amen?
Everybody agree with that? He's not only the Son of God, he was God the Son. He was every bit God that the Father is. And I can see this meeting going on in heaven. Of course, there's scripture to back it up, but I'll paraphrase a little bit. The meeting was going on, and they were looking at mankind. And mankind, just like if he looked around America today, was in a mess. Turned it back on God, we have again, in general. There's hundreds of thousands, millions of born-again Christians, yes. But there's millions that are not. I pray that the born-again Christian truck driver would get a grasp, and I'm talking to you, every one of you, the ones by CD and the ones here in this chapel, if you would get a grasp on the potential you have to reach America for God, it'd blow your mind. It would absolutely blow you away. We think of Dr. Graham, who is in the latter part of his life now. But look at the thousands and thousands, heaven knows, millions, that he's reached. We think of other people we could call out, evangelists or pastors that we've known, you know. And we say that's their job. Or what's your job? Jesus saved you when he died on the cross. He provided yours and mine salvation, not to sit back and just relax till we get to heaven. No. No. He's got a job for us to do. Now, we don't earn our way to heaven. Let's make sure we keep this clear. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. I'm working for God because I want to. I mean, I got the best job in the world. Because it's not a job, because I love it. I enjoy what I do. I can't wait till tomorrow. In fact, I have trouble sleeping a lot of times, anticipating the next day. Not worried about it, mind you, but excited. I know tomorrow certain things we're going to do concerning our new building and different things going on and a dental appointment I got. Hallelujah. I'm not too excited about that. If anybody can bring fear in me, it's that guy. When he said, open your mouth. Do I have to? But, you know, I'm excited about tomorrow because I want to be more effective tomorrow than I was last week for God. And the truck driver, you cover America better than Dr. Graham ever hoped to. Now, I'm not taking away from him. Understand? Please understand what I'm saying. And the reason I say that is you come in contact with thousands of people a week. Thousands that hear your voice. Now, we think of Dr. Graham in a stadium full of people, and he did. He did exactly what God called him to do and did a fantastic job of it. But he's given us a little old thing called a CB radio. And we have given it to Satan. CB to me means Christian broadcasting. And no, I won't turn mine off. No, I'm not going to do that. Got one in the pickup truck, got one in the motor home. I would have one in my wife's car, but she don't want it. She outvoted me. But I got a nice one in my pickup out there. It'll talk. But because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, that's why I do that. If I were to give you a brand new car, a brand new house, say your heart's desire was this particular house somewhere, or this particular truck, and I pulled the keys out and said, there you go. It's all yours. No strings attached. It's free. And said, don't tell nobody where you got it. Shoot. Remember the millionaire Michael Anthony? Remember that? Is anybody old enough to remember that program? And he said, don't tell nobody where it came from. You give me $1 million and then tell me to keep my mouth shut. First of all, I'd have a hard time explaining it, how I came up with $1 million. Probably most people would be checking banks to see if anybody had been robbed. But no, seriously. But God has given us something better than that. He's given us something money can't buy. And that's eternal life. He's offered it to us, I should say. We got to accept it. Jesus paid for it. You know, John 19:30, Jesus is hanging on the cross. Here's the scene. He's hanging on the cross. He's went through all this. By the way, we don't see the picture when we see these pictures here of, you know, three people on three crosses, and, you know, that's not the crucifixion. In fact, the real picture would be so gory, it would be hard to look at. Who was it? Mel Gibson done that movie. What was the name of it?
The Passion.
The Passion.
I have another.
And that's pictures out of it right there. Now, I saw that movie, of course. That's as close as I've ever seen to what I found a biblical description of the crucifixion.
And there was a lot of people that tried to fight it that weren't sure.
Oh, yeah.
They thought it was
too. Well, no wonder. It's the truth.
Well, the truth is always the worst thing. You ever notice that? Everybody wants to hear a lie in the world.
Well, yeah.
That's what everybody
Well, here's the thing. Jesus was willing to buy that and say, here it is if you want it. And give it to us. Now, to me, again, back to the gift. If you gave me a gift, I won't tell everybody where it came from. I won't call her name, but a certain lady driver in here named Christine gave gave my wife a laptop. And it was, it's just been such a tremendous blessing. And we say, hey, you know, look what God provided through somebody. But that is nothing side of salvation, right? There's nothing that compares to that. So John 3:16 and following, we read 16, so let's go to 17, or we quoted it somewhat. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, this is just really, really basic 101 we're talking about tonight, okay? We've heard this a thousand times, but a lot of people like to condemn somebody. Jesus never did. He never did. In fact, the people he didn't condemn them, but the ones he busted down, shall we say, use that term, was the religious people. Not the woman caught in the act of adultery, not the thief, not the whoever, right? Remember the two thieves on the cross with him? And one of them was belly aching and crying and complaining. The other one said, hey, we're getting what we deserve. That guy's done nothing. And he turned, you know the story. He turned to Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And see, this next statement that Jesus made defies some church doctrine. Because he said, today, Jesus told him, today, you will be with me where? In paradise or in heaven. Today. He didn't have to come down, join the church. He didn't come down and get baptized. He didn't come down. He didn't do nothing. What did he do? He accepted what Jesus offered just like we can today. And the reason I'm telling you is a lot of you in here are already born again. And I want to get it where you can explain it to somebody else that you don't have to do nothing except ask. Now, repentance is not apologizing. There's a difference in apologizing and repenting. Somebody apologizes when they get caught. They're just sorry they got caught. They're not sorry they did whatever it was, right? They're just sorry you caught them. I was dealing with a situation just day before yesterday, matter of fact. Somebody very, very close to me. I thought he was doing pretty good, but he got stone drunk out of his mind. He made a choice. And, of course, afterwards, I'm sorry. No, you're not. No. If you were sorry, you'd go get help. I'm not criticizing for drinking, please understand. I criticize for not go get help, because he can do that. It's just like with a broke leg or any other sickness or any, you know, go get help. It's there. It's your choice. But when we repent, the word repent, this has nothing to do with what I had wrote down. Oh, well. The word repent literally means to turn around. It literally means to do 180 and go the other direction. Meaning, spiritually, we turn around. And I want you to grasp this and share it with others. Again, you come in contact with people all the time that never come in these chapels. I'm thankful for familiar faces that we see sometime in Oklahoma City. Might see you wherever. But you come faithfully. Now, what we want to do is duplicate ourselves. Go get others and bring them in. Don't drag them in, but bring them in. Try to get them to come with you and share in the fact that, you know, it's easier than you think to become a Christian. And it's easier than you think to live it. Now, let me say this. Some will say it's very hard to be a Christian. Some say it's easy to be a Christian. To me, if I want something bad enough, then it's easy because I'm going to do everything I can do to get it, be it a car, be it a house, be it a boat, be it whatever, right? I mean, I'm going to work. I'm going to get it because I want it. You follow me? Don't matter what it is. I'm going to get it because I want it. Living a Christian life is easy because I want it. I enjoy it. Oh, I get ridiculed. If I weren't recording, I'd tell you some more stories. I'll tell you after we turn it off about our property over here. My name is Mud, I tell you, because we blocked off that whole parking lot. And we had to for safety purposes. But anyway, I know what God is leading us to do, so I have to do what it takes to get that done. Same thing, we're living a Christian life. I'm just going to do it. I don't do it to offend nobody. I don't want to offend nobody. But I'd rather offend you than watch you go to hell. I'd rather you be mad with me for a time than you go to hell. And if you love me, you'd be the same way. You tell me the truth. I had a real dear friend of mine call me last week. He said, I'm going to be very, very frank with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I said, well, please do. He said, you need to take off. You need to take off. I said, okay. We'll talk about that. But he was honest with me, and he saw stress in my life. He saw me tired, and he was willing for me to be offended, but to tell me the truth. If we love somebody, we just tell them the truth. And the truth is, Jesus died on the cross. The whole debt's paid. Just accept it. Now, the reason we don't is we're afraid somebody won't like what we say. And we want to be popular, don't we? I mean, I'm the same way. We want people to like us. But again, what's more important? I've had many drivers come to me in the last several years and tell me how they used to laugh at me and make fun of me and all that stuff. Well, they didn't know I was listening to them. When I walked the parking lot and the CBs are on, he's talking. I'm over to another truck hearing what he's saying. You know, that's okay. If before I got saved, I'd be one of them doing that too. I understand that. But you see, I'm willing, and I'm not a hero. Please understand something. I'd just rather tell them the truth than watch them go to hell. And the truth is, the cross says it all. The reason for Jesus coming was to pay a sin debt for us. The reason he came, the reason he died, is to pay a debt we couldn't pay, right? A debt he didn't owe. He come along and paid it all off. I heard of a driver, and I won't use his name because he would have a duck. One of his friends, driver, another owner-operator, cell phone was cut off. So what does he do? He goes online and pays their bill and calls him. And the guy startled calls his cell phone rung. It's supposed to be turned off. He said, hello? Like, how did this happen? Random act of kindness. Don't want his name told. He don't need his name in a marquee. You know? He's willing to do that. Somebody might be offended by it. Well, that's tough. Lord said, do it, I'm going to do it. Okay? But the reason Jesus came was to save us. Let's read verse 19 and through 21 in John 3. And this is, well, let's see, I didn't read 18, I'm sorry. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, people don't go to hell because they sin. You know that? Go to hell because you don't get saved. You go to hell, someone will go to hell because they didn't accept Christ as their Savior. Sin is a byproduct of that. Yes, sin will take you to hell, but the real sin, the real thing is not accepting Christ as your Savior. And once you accept him as your Savior, it's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened, and you're going to love it so much, you say, well, whatever it takes, this is what I want. See? No offense to you ladies, but I'm married to the most beautiful woman that's ever lived. There's no question in my mind. for almost 43 years. And I'm just looking at her at lunch a while ago thinking, wow. Now, what does that mean? That means I am in love with this person who can fail me, right? Who can fail? How much more should I be in love with Jesus who can't fail? Who is everything? Who bought my salvation, right? My wife cooked me an excellent meal today and yesterday and whatever. But she's not perfect. She looks perfect, but she's not perfect. And neither am I. Neither are you. Jesus is. He never failed. So why wouldn't we share this with other people? The story of the cross, it says everything. All right. The condemnation is not because we've sinned. Remember that. We'll never win nobody to Christ condemning them. Don't get on the radio and condemn somebody. Get on the radio and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If nothing else, pick the microphone up and say, for God so loved the truckers of the world that he gave his one and only son. Right? I said one time, I said, God's last name is not damn. That's all I said. And the guy come back at me and told me to quit preaching. I said, you quit preaching and I'll quit preaching. He screamed, I'm not preaching. I said, wait a minute. You used the word God in your statement. I used the word God in my statement. You said I'm preaching. Who's preaching here? Got him so confused he didn't know what he said. See, he used my father's name incorrectly. Now, I just told you how much I love my wife. Can you imagine me listening to you run her down? Do you know that's not going to happen? Again, she can fail me. But we sit around and listen to people run God down all the time and don't say nothing. Hello? Then we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Ooh. Do I? Or do I love Joe? I do love Joe. I try to take care of him. But I love him more. The light exposes dark. It says in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Isn't that where we're at? Somebody said a while ago, you know, something about, you know, tell them a lie rather than the truth, because we'd rather hear a lie than the truth. Why? Because our deeds are evil. Because our mind is full of junk from the world. And you can't stop that, because everything you hear, everything you read, everything around you is evil. So what we have to do is counter it with this. Every morning, we have a CD, just started this since Jen's attack from cancer. That gave us a wake-up call. It really did. We prayed with people for the last 28 years or more for cancer. But when the doctor looks at you and said, you have breast cancer, buddy, that was, I don't know about you, but it shook us to the core. So we said, wait a minute, hold it. Let's get back in the Word here. Now we read it, we study it, we preach it, we talk it.
It's easier to pray for other people than for yourself.
That's right. But then we said, well, he meant that for me too, right? I would, like you say, it would be easy to pray for you. It's easy to pray for your loved one. It's easy to pray for your friend. You know, but he said, I'll never forget that surgeon sitting there telling us, that's cancer. Now, we got one of two choices here, folks. By the way, the Bible says that by his stripes, what?
We are healed.
Is that true or not?
Yes.
That's true, right? Now, the doctor's report said she had cancer. That's true, too. But they're opposite. Which one's the most trustworthy? The word, right? So we did that. Anyway, now, because they're getting shaken, I guess, first thing goes on at the house is a CD in the DVD player at the house, a scripture. Just let it play. I don't sit down in front of it and focus on it, but while I'm getting ready and doing whatever, brushing my teeth and all that stuff, I'm listening. I'm hearing the word. And the word is what changes things. The word is what gives me the boldness to sit down, or when I'm walking through the restaurant, say something for God. We've got to tell the world the good news, not the bad news. You already got that. You got five or six major networks telling you that. You know. And by the way, if you're trusting in the president to bail you out, I got some good news for you. It ain't going to work. It ain't because it's Obama. It ain't because it's whoever. That ain't it. We're not even supposed to be looking to that. We're supposed to be looking to him. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. And no matter who's in the White House, that ain't going to change his plan. Okay? Now, whether or not you voted for him, by the way, he is our president, and we're commanded to pray for him. We don't have to agree with what he's doing, but God said to pray for him and his cabinet and his I really pray for his advisors, because really that's how he's acting, is what he's been told, right? Like anybody else. But we need to be listening to the word of God so we'll have something to say. Turn to, we said a while ago, John 19:30, I quoted the three words that's most important. When he was on the cross, he said what? It is finished. I started telling you that, and I got off course. Yes, I did. That's right. John 19:30 says, so when Jesus received the sour wine, he's up on the cross. He knows he's about to die. And he said, it is finished. What did he mean by that? What was finished? What? Everything was finished. The plan for our life, our salvation, done. It is finished. The law, the Old Testament law, was finished. Not eliminated, finished. We moved into grace. Did not eliminate it. The Old Testament is just as real today as it ever has been. We need all the books of the Bible. But remember, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Thank God, because I know I wouldn't live but about 15 minutes under the law, maybe that long. However long it took them to stone me to death. First woman that walked by, I'm going to look. I ain't lusting now, don't get me wrong, see. But if somebody, under the law, if somebody saw me and decided I lusted, I'm stoned to death, period. No court, no testimony. That's the law. Aren't we glad we don't live under that? And also part of that was the salvation. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to buy it. We can't buy it. It's free. So when he said it's finished, it was the complete plan for our life. He finished the job that the Father sent him to do. Back up just a little bit to the Garden of Gethsemane. Most people are familiar with, I don't guess we got one on the wall, Jesus kneeling and praying. Usually show him with a rock in front of him, he's praying. You remember that story, how he left the disciples and went a little bit further by himself and fell on his face praying. He said his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was in such anguish because he knew he was facing the cross. But it also, and I meant to write this down and I didn't. Or did I? I didn't. Hebrews 12, I'll tell you where it's at. Hebrews 12, turn there. I did get that. Hebrews 12. Thank you, Lord. If I can't remember it, you can. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Remember, we talked about he has a plan for our life. Let us run that race. Let us do that. We were talking earlier about keeping the truck, get out of the truck. You know, there, God's got a race set out before us, and part of that obviously includes trucking for us for now. I planned to be a truck driver my whole life. I had, you know, I had it all laid out. I told God exactly how it's going to work. Waste of time. I even told my wife, when the kids are grown and gone, I'm going to buy us another truck with a custom-built sleeper. We're going to hold OD load over dimension. That way we have to stop at night. We'll stop wherever. We'll plan it out, you know, the escorts and all. I can see it all in my mind, man. I'm going down the road following the escort, the lights on, and the whole pull in at dark, witness, you know, get your shower and all that stuff. Witness, you've been there someplace every evening to witness. We're going to win the whole world to Christ in no more than 6 months at the most. Nah. Didn't even get the first load. Why? Because that wasn't God's plan for me. He took me off the road and put some of you on the road. And I've had many a person come and say, I didn't want to drive. Well, I didn't plan to do what I'm doing, but I sure do like it. I sure do like it. Why? Because he set this race for me to run, and when I'm running that race, I know I'm going to win. Watch this, verse 2. Here's what we need to do. This is Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, remember he said it is finished on the cross, right? Romans 12, 2. Hebrews 12, 2. I'll get it. I'm just insisting on getting to Romans, don't I? Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross. He looked beyond the cross. He knew that once this is over, I'll be sitting by my Father again, where I was before I was born of the Virgin Mary. And of course, we said it thousands of times, but the virgin birth was not his origin. He's always been, he always will be. I have a CB repair friend of mine named George, and every time I see George, it's the same question. Where'd God come from? And every time it's the same answer. George, he's always been. George don't understand that, neither does Joe for that matter, but I know it's true. I mean, how are we supposed to understand that? We just accept it, right? Same thing, he paid for our sin when he said it was finished on the cross, all right? Turn back now. How can that be applied to me? Turn back to Romans that I've been trying to get. Romans 10. Let's look at something there real quick. Oh, golly, we're out of time. I didn't look at my watch.
We're out of time.
Romans chapter 10.
You guys aren't,
verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? What will happen? Somebody reading with me now. You will be saved, right? Why? Because he finished the work on the cross. The cross says it all. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Very simple. 1 John 1 and 9 says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, right? If you've done that, you're a born-again Christian. If you've done that, tell somebody else. Tell somebody else. You know what? The greatest, I was told this, the greatest theological message that's ever been preached. You know what it is? And if you're born again, you can preach it, if I can use that term. The greatest message that's ever been uttered is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Can you say tonight, Jesus loves me, this I know? Not I believe, but this I know. If you can say that, that you know that, then, since you're that certain, tell somebody else. Just tell somebody else. And you say, I don't have the opportunity. really? Maybe we don't look for the opportunity. One of the benefits, I don't have time to read all this. When you get time, go to Psalms 103. It's not in that Bible. The benefits of accepting or receiving the finished work on the cross is, Psalms 103, 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits from serving God. Oh, yeah. My last job I had before ministry, we had a benefit package that Teamsters would die for. I'm serious. It was that good. It was unbelievable what this person, the boss, the owner, gave to us. But you know what? If I didn't know what the benefits was, if I hadn't looked at them, I could go to the doctor and pay them. They'd take my money and keep going, right? But I had benefits. We have benefits as Christians we don't even know about because we don't study. We don't want to read it. Listen to a little bit of it. It says, forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, and satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Wow. Now, people you come in contact with say, well, I've been too bad. You don't know what I've done. Well, you can't have done nothing too bad for Jesus to save you, because it says in Romans 5, verse 8, that he demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for it. He paid for it. We didn't. If we didn't need it, he wouldn't have done it. Person says, well, I'm a good person. I don't get it. You can be good, but you can't be good enough to go to heaven, right? We have to be born again. What I want you to do is pray about sharing the gospel with others. I got too many notes to go through. I'm going to quit looking. Got off course anyway. But what I want you to do is, I really feel strongly tonight to encourage you to consider, some of you have never witnessed to somebody, and you're a little bit timid, but I understand that. One thing you can do is get our newsletter in the back. There's a page in there that has the plan of salvation spelled out in it. All the scriptures are there to lead somebody to Christ. Not because it's in our newsletter, but just take that, tear that page out, put it in your Bible, and then when you're talking to somebody, just turn over there and read that. You don't have to worry about what to say. It's there. And we've got oodles of stuff to help you. I want you, the driver, to grasp, number one, where are we at in time? We're out of time. Jesus is coming very soon. Now, you say, well, I've heard that all my life. I'm almost 62. I've heard that all my life. Jesus is coming soon. Well, that don't change the fact that it's true today, that we've heard it a lot. We need to be telling it more. So tonight, let me ask you this. Where do you stand with God? Some of you I know, some of you I've never seen before. Some of you I won't get to see again until we're in heaven. But I do want to see you then. I do want to see you there. And I know we're going to have a great big trucker jamboree when we get there. I might even can sing up there. Since we'll have a perfect body, maybe I'll have a perfect voice. Hadn't had one so far. But seriously, though, I want to close. I don't know you. So just in case there's somebody in this room or listening by CD that doesn't know Jesus personally, let's do what the Bible said. We quoted, we read Romans a while ago where it says, all we got to believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead. We know he died for our sins. We said that a while ago. We believe he raised him from the dead. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, one of the sins may be in your life, might be the sin of omission. That is, not doing what you should have done. There's a sin of commission, of doing something that's wrong. Then there's a sin of omission, of not doing what's right. How do you know when you're doing that? You know. You know. I know. Hey, I know when it happens in my life. I didn't say if it happened. I said when it happened. Get in too big a hurry sometimes. Just right here in this very truck stop. Pass somebody, this little feeling, this little something says, say something to them. Gotta go. Gotta go. It could be the prompting of the Holy Spirit for you just to say something to them that might turn their whole life around. Might not happen that day. See, we're sowers, not growers. We just sow. God does the growing. So tonight, I want you to leave here equipped to being ready to tell somebody else about Jesus, but you can't do that unless you know him personally. You can't do that unless you're born again. You can't go to heaven unless you're born again. And I certainly want to see that happen. And there's one way to do that. It's real easy. I'm going to pray a simple little prayer. If you've been here before, you know what I'm going to do. I want to pray this simple little prayer. I want everybody in here to repeat it with me with your heads up and eyes open. Because I'm not going to come around. I'm not going to call you up here. You know, you come up here and pray if you want to. It doesn't matter. But what I want you to do is pray this from your heart. And if everybody repeats it, nobody but you and Jesus are going to know whether you meant it or not. It's a personal thing. It's very, very personal. But I believe there's somebody sitting here tonight that needs to pray this prayer and let Jesus come in and change your life. Now, you're not going to wake up in the morning perfect, nor the next day, nor the next day for that matter. What we're going to do is wake up growing in him. We got Bible studies to help you. We got a prayer line you can call 24 hours a day. We're going to help you. We're not going to just send you out there and drop you. You can call 24 hours a day for prayer or just to talk to somebody. That's what we're here for. And there's people that answer that phone all over the United States 24 hours a day. Somebody's answering it right now. I don't know who it is that's got it today. They might be in Seattle, or they might be in California, might be in Georgia. I don't know. But we want to walk through this with you. And then one day you'll call and say, I witnessed to a driver today. We're going to rejoice with you in that. But to prepare for that, if you're not born again, the scripture we've read and looked at and quoted tells me that if you'll pray from your heart, if you mean it, God will save you and set you free. You say, I'm not interested. Well, please go along with it so the person beside you might need to pray it. Well, again, I'm not here to embarrass anybody. Would you do that? Would you pray with me? And then those that mean this, I promise you, based on the authority of the Word of God, he will save you and cleanse you and set you free just like that. It's going to happen. I promise you. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you, in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian, the kind of witness that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. I believe your word. I receive your word. It is infallible. It's inerrant. Meaning it can't be wrong. And I receive it as such. And I walk in it.
I walk in it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.